Boy, there was one time, now this is way back when, and I used to be an altar boy at one time. And the altar boy had to go out, and he had to put the wine and the water out, and he had to light the candles. And I was doing this over at the old San Gabriel Mission. So I get this stuff I've got to take out, and I go, our dressing room area is behind the altar. So I go out, get the stuff, go back out to the altar, put things away, put them where they're supposed to be. When I went to go in to find the door that would take me to the back behind the altar, I couldn't find it because they had all these curtains hung all over the place. So I'm like this, and I'm spreading curtains over here, and I'm looking over here, and I couldn't find it. People are laughing. I prayed and I said, God, help me find out where that opening is. And it made me think of a verse in Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He saved me from going through those curtains that whole time. And if God can get you through something like that when you're just thinking, man, I'm stuck up here and I have no place to go. I don't know what's going to happen to me. We have a God that cares about everything. Every small thing, every big thing in our life. And the Christmas story, that's the beauty of it. We can hear it so many times and still derive things from it that we go, my gosh, I didn't realize God was talking to me on that one. Like I said in Psalm 8:3-5, O Lord my God, if I have done this, Psalm 8, there it might be a little easier. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? And you look over in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66. Oh, and by the way, if you need a Bible, does anybody need a Bible? Because we'll be just going through pages today. If you do, raise your hand, please, and we'll get one to you. So in Isaiah 66, 2, it says, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one of whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in heart and trembles at my word. That's God's word. A humble person, they're not thinking of themselves. They're thinking what needs to be done out there. Contrite person, God forgive me for not looking out for the other person or doing what I should be doing. Please forgive me. That's contrite. And trembles at my word. That gets me to thinking, do I respect God's word enough? When I read it, do I think about it? Do I wonder, what is he trying to tell me today? And when it comes to the Christmas story, it is just packed with people who are humble, who are contrite, and they tremble at the word. If you look over at Luke, we'll be mainly staying in Luke today. Luke chapter 1. Verse And they were both righteous. He's talking about Elizabeth and Zechariah. It says, both were righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. That's not an easy trick. They both did that, this husband and wife. They were loyal to God. They served him all the time. Zechariah was one of the priests who went, and in this particular case, he was lighting the incense, which was taking the prayers to God. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Ever had something just happen to you that you really did not cause? You couldn't think of, why did this happen to me? There's no straight answer that comes to you. Why did God do this? Why did God allow this? You don't hear any grousing about by Zechariah and his wife. They served where they needed to serve. They were there when it was required. And that was a tough thing to bear. No children. Here's a priest who wants to carry on the line in his family. Can't do it. Here's a wife who feels like people are looking at her all the time, thinking, what did she do wrong? What must have gone wrong in her life to where she was punished by God with now, you know, not being able to have kids? They still served him. Mike brought that up today. Service is how we come before God. That's what we're here for, is to serve. If you look at verse 10 in that same chapter, and the whole, this is the background on this one. It was Zacharias, his division's turn to go before the altar and do the prayers at this time. And they were chosen by lot. Now when they go in there, they pray for the people. They offer incense. And you would think, if there was something that God could do for him, he would have prayed this all over the place. Zechariah would. And what's the thing that God says, or that the angel says to him? It says that the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him, to Zechariah, an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. He was heard. God, how many times do we assume God doesn't hear us because he didn't answer the prayer with the first couple days, didn't answer it within a month, didn't answer it within a year, 2 years? How often do we just say, no one's listening to me? You know, this God thing, you know, God, it can't be that hard. You can't be that forgetful. We come up with some reason why God is the problem and it's not me. But look at Zacharias. I don't blame the guy for being scared. He was going into a room cut off from all the people. He is alone in there, or so he thought, and an angel appears. The angel Gabriel, who stands at the right side of the hand of God. This is the one that God sent in order to tell Zechariah, this is the message, buddy. This is what God wants you to know. So many times we need to go to the Word, always go to the Word, and ask God, please help me to understand what's going on. Not expecting it, and I guess that's the tricky part, not expecting it to all come together the way I want it to come together or the timing that I want it to come together. But God, you tell me what you need done and I'll do it. That's one thing I can speak for the other guys who have spoken up here while Tony's gone. It is an aspect that you just really don't want to do. Something about speaking. But God says, this is the way I want things done. Tony's not here for this week or this month. My word still needs to be spoken. And it always amazes me that in a service on a Sunday morning, everything fits together. Stuff is gone through, notes are gone over at the last minute. Just, you would think we'd be all prepared and ready to go. We have forgot something. Car runs out of battery juice. You don't have enough oil in the car, and your computer's not working, so you can't make copies of things. Stuff happens, but it is amazing how God uses all of these things coming together in your life, in my life, to point to Him and say, who are you going to listen to? Do you believe I don't hear your prayers? No, that's not the God we serve. If you look at verse 10 in chapter 1 of Luke, it just amazed me. It says, and the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and he fell, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son for you, and you will call his name John. Okay, imagine you're Zechariah, and you're given this great news, and you're thinking, are you kidding me? After all these years, all these prayers, a son is coming to me. A son to carry the name on. Holy cow, that's not bad. What else is promised of the son? And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. It's not bad. Don't have a kid you got to be ashamed of. You get to have a kid who everybody loves him. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or drink or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Man, this is stuff to where it's fulfilling what is in the scripture. It's about the son that Zechariah was going to get. This tells me that God is not surprised by our response, our lack thereof. He is not surprised that we just don't believe it. And what do we get? We get afraid. We fear. I guess I would be too if all of a sudden an angel was standing over at the right side and starting to talk to me. I'd be a little bit on the spook side too. It still amazes me that God allows for these things. He's not surprised by our reactions, our feelings, what we do with the word that He gives us. He is not surprised at how we react. John the Baptist, even from conception, had a purpose. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. He had a duty. He had a purpose for being here. Even before he was born, he had a purpose. Zechariah had a purpose. Elizabeth had a purpose. We have a purpose. And though we go, yeah, I can do the thing at Christmas time. I can be an angel or whatever it might be that they need. And that is always a good start. Service, though, is something we were made for, each of us. And God grows us up in that. He grows us up not so much to say, you know, I can handle whatever it might be. I can speak once in a month. God's talking about service that lasts a lifetime. And not so much, and not only that He expects it of us, but He made us capable of doing it. Each of us. We get spooked, we feel like we don't measure up. Let me assure you, God didn't forget a single one of us. But He has us, has a part of us. He has a place for us in His plan. Just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, it says in verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I understand your problems. It's all right, Zechariah. Geez, don't worry, we'll find somebody else. I'm sorry we bothered you. Gee, many Christmas, give me a break." No. Gabriel said, "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled." Which will be fulfilled in their time. God didn't let them off the hook. And that being unable to communicate was something that dogged Zechariah now through those 9 months. He couldn't tell it. He couldn't express it. God caught his attention just like He catches our attention. I'd like to think that God works the same way every time. So if we don't have a kid, He'll get a kid for us. If I'm too old, He'll make me young. I keep thinking, God will take care of my problems. He's not here to worry about taking care of your problems. He is here to have His plan come to full effect in our lifetimes and us be used as servants of the Most High. And He will catch our attention. There's a friend of mine that I know who doing what is done all the time, walking up a step, and just this particular day at this particular moment, the feet didn't quite grab the threshold, and someone fell, and someone broke a collarbone, and someone had to learn all over again how to turn her head. Stuff happens to you that you just don't, you know, you ask God, why? What the heck is going on? I can assure you, ladies, there will be many a message that will come out of that trip over the threshold. Somehow she's able to use those ideas in many different ways. We are here to glorify God. Zechariah and Elizabeth found out. Elizabeth had a long time to think about things. And it changed her life to where when she saw her cousin Mary come to the door, she was a little bit amazed when the baby inside her womb did a somersault. But she was preparing, even during that time of pregnancy, to what was going to be coming of this kid who was born to them. Stuff didn't happen by mistake. If you look at verse 20. Let's see, I got that. We got 20 already, so check that off, Paparero. If you look at Luke chapter 1, 16 and 17, no, that I've already gotten that one too. Boy, I'm just getting too good at this. Look at starting at verse 30. And the angel of the, we'll start at 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Once again, God comes in a way that was not expected. Came to tell a virgin that you're going to have a baby, and this virgin was not necessarily figuring on sex before. She and Joseph were essentially married. They just had a time of separation from each other. And they had all the plans to go by what the Jewish law required of them. No sex until the final stage of marriage, but they were essentially connected to each other. Just amazed me that she said, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and you will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he is great and he will be called the Son of the Most High God." My gosh, what kind of a person would it take to receive God's word like that? And not say, "Oh no, not me." Oh, false humility. I'm sure there was humility. There was a contriteness in her heart. And I'm sure that she trembled at God's word. And the angel explained to her as much as he can explain. I mean, someone explained to you how a baby is born. And I tell you, it can get very complicated to explain it. But someone says the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you're thinking, what? A servant, as Mary was, did not just leave it at what. She went what, but she also knew the requirement that she was a servant. And the Lord God will give him a throne, and the throne of David. And she knew who David was. That was in her lineage. That was in Joseph's lineage. They were seeing the word come into play and become real. They had heard a lot of it as prediction, but never seeing a lot of it. And now a major part with it's the Son of God related to David was going to come to her, and she was going to have this baby. I guess that's the part for us. When it doesn't go our way, all we can do is say, "Okay, God, here I am. Do what you need to do. Just steer me in where I need to be. I'm yours." I guess it is that part we look at in chapter 1, 36, 37. Behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. I believe that means nothing. And Mary said, this is the amazing part with her, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary accepted what God told her to do. And she based it on not who she was, but on who God is. And that nothing's impossible with Him. And I'm sure our lives depict that. Husbands and wives can say that. They can talk about their marriage. They can talk about finance. Talk about health problems. They're able to look at His word and say, gosh, God's able to do what is impossible, it seems impossible to me. I'll trust you, God. And Mary, verse 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Our lives are meant to magnify God. Sometimes we think, it's just got to look so foolish for me to do that or think this or step out in this area. But it's not about us. It's about who God is. And Mary magnified God. And she knew what she was in for. The law at that time required that a woman be stoned if she was found to have had sex with another man and be pregnant. She knew she was in for it. But what did she do? God, I'm your servant. She must have been spooked. And you look at how did God work in her life in a way that I'm sure she did not totally expect. Probably like Abraham and Isaac. Abraham trusting, well, if God takes my kid's life, he'll give that life back to him. God's able to do it. I'm not. I don't know how he pulls it off, but I trust him. If you... Well, Mike covered Joseph really well today. And Joseph, to me, it was just the idea that he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he listened to what God had to say. He didn't think of himself. He thought of what can I do to save Mary. And he even waited until the end of the pregnancy. I think part of that might have been just the fact, okay, God, you said you could do it. I trust you. I trust you so much, I won't try to influence this in any way. I'll trust you and put my life in your hands. A humble man. He is the one God chose to be the father for his kid, to watch over him, to teach him what he needed to know as a kid growing up in Nazareth. Just like he grows us up. And all we've got to do is say, okay, I'll go as far as what I can read from this word of yours, God, and I will go as far as what you want me to do. And if you look at 78 and 79 in Luke 1, it says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God made a promise to us. His light was going to come down from heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God saves, the Anointed One, was going to come and do what He said He would do. And He came to set the captives free. We can all attest to that. We've all crawled out of our cages. We all wonder how God's going to pull it off, how He is going to do it. If you look at, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Boy, if Mary and Joseph, if Elizabeth and Zechariah had been afraid and thought, how can I approach this God? I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. If they had not understood God's love and that it makes a difference in a person's life and that God so loved each and every one of us, that He gave His only Son. He gave His Son to us to die for our sin. Christmas, we miss it many a time. We keep thinking that 25 days is all we have, or that we look at it and what gifts are we going to get. I still come to the place of what is really important. Is it all the dinners and the gifts and all, which are good? But that's not what God came down here for, is to make sure that we had enough money in our pockets to where we could buy each other gifts. Doesn't say that. He came to save us, and we needed that. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's for each of us. I suppose why Christmas is great is it's just a reminder, just what the Word says. God, how many times do we feel we cannot come up and do something because we're not good enough? That there is something wrong with us. We're different than everybody else. It's not what He says here. He's talking about this salvation is for everyone. Thing is, you got to believe in Christ. And this is the judgment. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. That's when that fear and that tearing ourselves down, where we look at ourselves and say, I'm not worthy. You're right. You're not worthy, but that's not where God stopped. God went all the way for the salvation for us through his son, Jesus Christ. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, but his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. God gets into our hearts and changes us, gets us to a point where we say, God, forgive me. One of the toughest things for me to do for a long time, I can say it's changed, is tell Lisa I'm sorry about something. Yeah, it's like, oh man. Got to pull teeth to get that out sometimes. But God showed me that if I start thinking a different way about this, look at it in the sense that, Paparero, if you say you're sorry, if you cut it off right there, it's a lot easier for you. It's a whole lot more better for you. If you listen to what the Word says and live according to what's in this, ask him to change your heart. I ask him to change my heart, to get me to a point where I'm not fighting it all the time. He does change a life. I can't figure out how he does it. Can't quite figure out how Mary had a baby. But I know that God does work, and he does what his word says he will do. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We do what he says. That's why you guys... And I guess if you go any place in the body of Christ that is listening to the word, practicing it, being contrite, you're going to see changed lives. There are changed lives in this sanctuary right now. I can see it. I've seen it many a time. And he grows us up. He matures us in ways we never thought. And they glorify God. And they get us to realize at Christmas time, thank God that he came to earth and died for a sinner like me. And that's all I have to say about that.